I have a confession to make. I remember several years ago sitting in the front pew of an auditorium where I was being installed as a pastor and thinking to myself, well, perhaps God will make a pastor out of me yet. I'm still asking that question or making that comment. And in a very real sense, I do feel this way. On the other hand, as I look back, I also have to confess that I'm changing. I'm not the same person I used to be. In a lot of ways, my thinking, my actions, my approach to life has been changing. I hope it has been growing. And I hope that my relationship to God, my understanding of Scripture, has also been changing and growing. And as I look back, I think that is really the case. And this is all part of the Christian experience. Folks, growth is possible. We can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. Paul puts it this way, in kind of a strange way, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He says, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Now, those are kind of strange words, kind of hard words, really. And I think there are words that are often misunderstood. But as we look at these words this morning, I really want you to understand that you can grow in Christ. That growth is not only possible, but it is expected by the Lord our God. And I want to look at this text in 1 Corinthians 9 so that you will see the possibility of this growth. And I also want to compare this text with a couple of others that are decidedly different to help you see the possibility of growth in your own life. So, what is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 9:27? I buffet my body and make it my slave. Of course, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. The New International Version says, I beat my body. Now, that's probably a little stronger expression. The King James Version says simply, I keep under my body. Interesting word. Literally, it means to strike under the eye. To give somebody a black eye. That's literally what the word means. Of course, the Apostle Paul has been talking about athletics. And he's been talking about boxing too, hasn't he? Look at verse 26. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body. I give myself a black eye, he says, literally. Well, I don't think that Paul is talking about literally giving himself a black eye. What Paul is actually talking about is self-discipline. Look at verse 25. He says, and everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Everyone who engages in athletics has to have a degree of self-discipline in order to succeed. And Paul is talking about self-discipline, self-control. The self-control that is required in the Christian life is stringent, folks. We talked about this a little bit in our adult class this morning. A boxer, for instance, needs to live a disciplined life if he is going to win any matches. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of exercise. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of strength. Not only physical strength, but it takes a lot of inner strength. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about exercising a great deal of inner strength and discipline with regards to our own lives. Notice what Paul says here. I buffet my body. It is almost as though Paul's body is Paul's opponent. And I think there's a sense in which Paul is looking at things this way. It is true, isn't it? That your body and my body very often is our opponent in the Christian life. After all, isn't it true that lusts and cravings arise in our physical bodies that we have to temper? It's interesting that in the context, Paul talks about this. Look at chapter 10 and verse 6. He says, "Now these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also craved." The King James Version talks about lusts. I don't think the New International Version puts it as strongly as it might. But what we are talking about here are cravings of the flesh. You know as well as I do that when we start talking about bodily appetites, one of the examples we can look at is the addict. And you know what's happened to the addict? The addict has lost control. I want you to get this. The addict has lost control. The appetites, the cravings of the body control. Now that's a significant thing. Irma was talking to a fellow this week who graduated from Sterling College and is in business. And he expressed some frustration about his ability to witness to those who are in the business world. And he said something to the effect, "You know, these people are just caught up in sex. Everything that drives them and motivates them has to do with sex." I don't think we understand that well enough. And I'm thankful because we are not caught up in the world like some of these people are. But there are many people who are literally addicted to sex, and that drives them and motivates them, and they are under the control of this addiction. Drugs and alcohol and money and power and these other cravings are exactly the same. The appetites of the body are in control. But notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "I buffet my body and make it my slave." Literally, Paul is saying, "I bring my body into a slavery to myself. I make my body do the bidding of God. I do not follow the cravings of the flesh. I bring those cravings into subjection, and I do not let those bodily appetites to rule my life. I don't let it happen. I bring my body into subjection and I make it my slave." Now, I really think that's something. Paul says, "I'm in control here." He's not a junkie who, because of the withdrawal pains that he is about to go through, has to have another fix, be it on whatever it might be. He's in control. But I think it's terribly important for us to grasp this. I buffet my body and I make it my slave. We can compare along this line, again, the text that we have looked at in Romans chapter 6. In verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body." Do you see the connection? That you should obey its lusts. Paul's talking about the same thing here. And Paul is telling you and he's telling me that he is in control of himself. I wonder how many of you are in control of yourselves. Are you in control of yourself? I'm not always. I'll admit it. Irma baked an apple pie yesterday. And I'm not always in very good control when it comes to apple pie. I'll eat the whole thing. How many of us are in control? We ought to be. This is what Paul is saying. I buffet my body and make it my slave. I remember as a high school young person going in the car with a group of other fellows. And I remember this quite well because the captain of the football team on which I played with these other fellows was with us. And he was just wearing a T-shirt. And he said, let's get some beer and go out and drink. And we did that. And the way he would do it, he was underage, but he would go to the tavern and he would pull the neck of his T-shirt down like this, and he was just full of hair on his chest, and he would go in and say, give me a six-pack. And he wouldn't have any trouble buying it. And then we would go out to drink. The temptations are high, aren't they? From a Christian perspective, here is what ought to be done. The words of the Apostle Paul ought to be followed. I buffet my body, I exercise the self-control, and I make my body my slave. I bring it into servitude to me. It does not rule me, I rule the cravings of the flesh. Now, I want to repeat something here. I want to tell you with all my heart that Paul is laying before us the position of the Christian, of the believer, as an apostle of Christ. And I want to tell you and I want to emphasize as best I can the fact that you need to follow the Apostle Paul, and you not only need to follow him, you have the ability to follow him. Are you not a Christian? If you are not a Christian, you do not have the ability. And I want to talk about that in a moment. But if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the ability to follow what Paul sets forth right here and to bring the bodily appetites into subjection, into slavery to yourself. And not only so, you have the freedom to do that very thing. Why? Because the rule and the reign of sin over your life has been broken in Christ. That's the gospel, folks. And so take the words of the Apostle Paul and make them your own. I buffet my body. With me, if you would, back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to see the drastic difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. In Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, Paul says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." To be in the flesh, as Paul puts it here, is to be united with the flesh. To be in the Spirit is quite different. To be in the Spirit is to be united with the Holy Spirit, to have the Spirit of Christ in you. Folks, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are not a Christian. But the opposite is just as true. All the difference in the world is made by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of an individual. Paul contrasts those who are in the flesh with the Christian. Look what he says. Verses 6 and 7. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And he characterizes the unbeliever, the non-Christian. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. The first characteristic of the non-Christian is his or her hostility towards God. I hate to say it, but one of the places where that hostility comes to the fore most frequently is in the academic community. And I know that those of you who wrestle in the academic community see that. And Christians who stand up for the grace of Christ in the academic community, we need to pray for them, that God would give them grace and strength. But it's a shame, is it not, that creationism is out? It's out. I found it very interesting this last week that as the Apollo mission went past Neptune, and there was great excitement about the moon Triton, that one of the correspondents relayed this message that a scientist said, "You know, this moon looks very young. It doesn't look like it's very old." Amazing, isn't it? But because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. Here's another characteristic of the non-Christian. Not only hostile towards God, but rejects the Ten Commandments. All you have to do is look at the homosexual community today, and you know this is true. Why, how narrow and bigoted can you Christians get anyway? What do you think? Ten Commandments. Hooey! That's how they react. They don't want it. A rejection of the commandments of God. And not only so, Paul says, not even able to follow the commandments of God. Inability. Unable to follow God's commandments. Do you catch that? Hostility towards God, rejection of the commandments, and an inability to follow those commandments. That's the non-Christian position. And it's a hard position. People find themselves trapped in that position. I had an individual come to me not too long ago and tell me about a family in which there was a young fellow, a junior high school student, who confessed to his parents that he was addicted to pornography, that he couldn't get away from it in our town. You see, that's the trap. There's a drastic difference between the Christian position and the non-Christian position. In the non-Christian position, people find themselves enslaved to sin, unable to follow the commandments of God. But you see, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27 is totally different. Totally different. He says, I buffet my body and I make it my slave. He says, I'm no longer enslaved to sin. Oh yes, I've got problems. There are difficulties. There are struggles. But I exercise the self-control that God has given me by His grace, and I bring my body into servitude. I don't let it carry me away. Big difference, folks, between the Christian and the non-Christian. I hope you begin to see where you are in all of this, because it's terribly important. Now I want to look at Romans chapter 7 for a moment, because we will go back to Romans chapter 7 and we will say, you know, I'm just like this fellow in Romans chapter 7. The struggle's there, and I fall. Well, again, I want to show you something about this fellow in Romans chapter 7. Look, if you will, with me at Romans 7, verses 22 and 23. Paul says, "For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." Paul in Romans chapter 7 is a divided and defeated individual. A divided and defeated individual. Look at what he says. On one hand, he says, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. I see God's law. I see that it's good. I concur with it. But on the other side, what happens? Look again at verse 23. He says, I see a different law in the members of my body. There we have it again. The members of the body. He says, I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. He says, in my mind I joyfully concur with the law of God that it is good. But in the members of my body, there is this tenacious effort to overcome what my mind is saying. And there is a war going on. Who's the victor? Look at what Romans chapter 7 verse 23 says. He says, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. He says, I'm losing the battle. I'm being made a prisoner. I see that the law of God is good, but my flesh and the members of my body raise up and I am taken captive to sin. Paul in Romans chapter 7 is not a free man, but he's a captive. And I believe that what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7 is his conversion experience. He is looking back and he is seeing the struggle once again that he went through as he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled, folks, about Romans chapter 7. Too often we use it as an excuse to remain in sin. And we say to ourselves, there I am. And if Paul had this struggle, I'm no different. And so I can be satisfied with sin in my life. No, no. Look at what Paul says in the following verses. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? He's in misery, folks.
thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. If you're laboring under the kind of conviction that Paul outlines in Romans chapter 7, bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and come out from under condemnation. For there is now, therefore, no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Praise God. Now you see, although Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, I am taken captivity and am made a prisoner, that's quite different from the position he outlines in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Go back to it now if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. He says, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Do you see the difference? In Romans chapter 7, there is a huge struggle and a warfare going on. And Paul says, I am made a prisoner. Oh, Christ makes all the difference. In Jesus Christ, there is no more condemnation. There is freedom. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul does not say that I am a prisoner of my body. No, it's quite different. He says, I make my body my servant. Folks, that's the way it needs to be for each one of you. You need to make your body your servant. To do what you want to do by the grace of God. You're not a slave to sin. Do you realize that? For sin shall not any longer have dominion over you. That's the gospel. So again, I urge you, take up the words of the Apostle Paul. They're very simple. Remember, however, that stringent discipline and effort and work is involved. It's like being in a boxing match. He says, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Take those words as your own and walk with Jesus Christ as God the Father would have you walk with Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, it is within your grasp as a Christian to do it.